Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, our Father in heaven, as we have come before thee this evening hour, it is thy children's desire to come with an opportunity that we might have another opportunity again in this week, that we could gather ourselves together around your holy and precious word. We thank you for the words, for preserving it for us down through the years. And now as we would look into it, we would call upon thee for a blessing as only thou canst do. And so we commit this time into thy care and keeping and pray it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. With God's help, I would like to read out of the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12.
Nažinājies Rīmļanima 12. Glāva.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, with the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. And he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. And let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. But be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. As we look into this chapter, we realize that the Apostle Paul had many letters to the churches, and this is, of course, no exception. His heart and desire was to teach and to set the example and that we might know and understand even to this day and age what God expects of us. And so he mentions here that by the mercies of God, we should present our bodies a living sacrifice. How exactly do we do that? You have to concentrate on what God's word says. You have to specifically look at the words that he leaves us that we might realize and understand how we can be a living sacrifice. As we look through all these instructions that he has left, if you will, and he compares it to a human body and the various different faith and things that God has given man, and the many different aspects of not everybody has the same. But we all do have the responsibility to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and it's just nothing more than a reasonable service. Not asking a lot, and we can do that if we will but put our trust and our faith in the living God, in Jesus Christ our Savior. That's how we can be a living sacrifice. Of course, if you conform to the things of this world, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a real hard time giving your life as a living sacrifice. He warns us here of these conforming to the world. And how do we do that? He says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you see, it begins in our mind. The things that we do, the thoughts that we have, is the things that we usually do. And usually if there's anything that we do, we first think of it. And so you see, we have to renew our mind from the ways we used to be. So now, how long do we renew our mind? Is this just when we first become converted? And we renew our mind? That's a beginning. And we do need to do that, and we must do that. But to renew our minds, we have to do this on a daily basis. And the reason we find that so true is because of the society in which we live. We are bombarded with ever so many things in this life. Things that want to draw us our attention away. It wants us to follow this, do this, take this. This will help you. So on and so forth. And it's just like there's no end to this. So you see, every day we have to renew our mind, if you will, and excuse ourselves from away from the things of this world and conform not to the new world in which we live. You know, we're living in a time when everybody knows about this pandemic that's going on. And you wonder if it's ever going to change, if it's ever going to stop, is it ever going to be any different? Is it ever going to go back to normal? Well, you have to define normal. What is normal? You know, we have a little sign, a little shirt that says, get used to different. Get used to different. We don't like what's different about it. We don't like to wear these masks. We don't like what's going on. But it is what it is. And we might as well accept it and get with it and accept different. Now you see, you can look at this in a couple of ways. You can look at this as something that God has orchestrated for men to wake up and realize that there's a need of a Savior. Or you can look at this as a poor me thing. And why do I got to go through this? And why is God allowing this happen to us? So you see, we have a renewing of the mind. We change our attitude, our mind, as to what's going on here. And if we don't do that and we can't accept that, we're going to have problems. Nothing but problems. So you see, we have to, yes, get used to different. But what exactly is different? Well, we know there's all kinds of things changing different. Last week when we was up in Michigan, you can't go into a store, no place, without that face mask. And they'll even tell you with the sign on there, do not enter without a mask. It's more rigid than it is in our state. And they'll tell you about it too. So you get used to it. You get out of your car, get your mask, put it on. If you're going in the store, you better have it on. And so you kind of get used to that. Like it or not, you got to get used to it. It's different, yes. But it's not something that's going to kill us. It's not something, in fact, that might help us maintain a better health and strength. And this is what they claim that this is all about. Questionable, maybe, yes. But it is what it is. And so we live accordingly. And so you see, he goes and talks about this here, that we would renew our minds to these kinds of things. Not to things of the world, but that we would renew our mind to focus on Jesus Christ, focus on God and what he has done for us. And that's the key to a happy life. That's the key to being a Christian. Focusing on God and his ways. And so we see here, he enumerates this. But he tells us that, I say, though, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So you see, sometimes we think we know it all. We think we got a good handle on things, but be careful. Be careful. Because it may not be right. And if you think you got a handle on things, you think you're something, he's warning us here, beware, be careful not to allow this to carry you away, explode your head. Sometimes your head will get so big you can't go through the doors because you think so much of yourself. Mr. Big Shot, no. None of us are Mr. Big Shot. None of us. And that's what he's saying here. Think about this. Renew it in your mind. And not to allow this to think that you are something. But he goes on to say that we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. And then he goes on to enumerate some of these things that are given out. Prophecy. Ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, simplicity, ruling, mercy, and so on. All these things, we don't all have the same amount. We don't all have the same faith. We don't all have the ability to teach. We don't all have the ability of giving. And it just goes all. And so whatever God has given us, this is what is expected of us. And this is what is called. This is what is referring to the renewing of our mind. Find out what the Lord has for you to do and do it. Whether it's any one of these or maybe none of these. You know, sometimes you may think that I can't do anything. I don't know. You know what? The mere fact that you show up here on Wednesday night and every Sunday is something. And it means something to us, and especially standing up here. Because if you didn't show up, we wouldn't need to have this book at all. We wouldn't even need nothing. So you see, the mere fact that you show up is something. It may not seem like anything, and you might have had to drag your kids to come, and you might have had to whatever, but you came, and it means something to those of us that are in the ministry. Bear that in mind. And so no matter what any of these things, if you feel like you don't have any of these, can't do any of this, you can show up, and you can pray. We can always pray. You know, we need your prayers. We need prayers of each other. That's why it talks about this in the family, that we're many. There were many. But we all need prayer. If we don't pray for one another, who's going to pray for us? And so you see, it's an exhortation that he gives us here, and it means a lot. It means a lot. There's a lot of weight to what he's teaching us in this chapter. Then he says, let love be without dissimulation. This dissimulation, this word, simply means to be sincere. Don't just love out of word and say, oh, I love you, and keep on going. When really, you can't understand the guy. You can't understand to be around him. Well, but you still love him. No, that's unacceptable to God. That is not the way he wants it. He wants us to love without phoniness, if you will, without dissimulation. That's what this is saying. And to top it all off, or abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. So you see, it gives a real responsibility to every believer and every child of God, as well as every friend that gathers here with us. You know, might be unconverted, but you still have to love. You still got to love. Not only do you got to love one another here, but you got to love God even more. And if each and every one of us love God the way we should, all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and all our strength, then we're going to have a love for one another. And then our love is not going to be phony. It's not going to be dissimulated. It's going to be very real. And you can know, you can tell that. You can tell when someone is glad to see you. You can tell when someone shakes your hand and greets you. You can also tell when someone is simply format, shake hands, away they go. No, there's more to it than that. And sometimes that can be a false pretense there that you love someone. There's more to it than that. And so this is what he's saying here. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. See, all those are meaningful words. Those are action words. Those are words that you and I are expected to do. This is not just merely suggestions. These are commands, as far as you can see. You got to understand that. And so this is what governs our life. This is what governs our living sacrifice, if you will. If we neglect these here, kindly, affectionate one to another, brotherly love, honor, preferring one another, we neglect that, you're not living sacrifice. No way. Can't work. It doesn't work that way. You're either one or the other. There's no middle road here. You either got to be it or not. And that's what he's saying to us here. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceits. Again, he reminds us, don't think you're something. Condescend to the man of low degree. In other words, humble yourself in the sight of God and in amongst your brethren. Live a humble life. No one is better than the other here in any way, shape, or form. And just because maybe that we come up here and we preach the word, that don't make us any better than you sitting there and listening to it. We still have our struggles. We still have our problems. We still face the same kind of temptations. There's no different. And that's why it's so important for us to love one another, preferring one another, praying for one another, being that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Your reasonable service. And so he goes on to say, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And sometimes that's so easily said and so hard to do sometimes. Live peaceably with men. And it don't come easy sometimes. But if you're a living sacrifice, it should come easy. And when we find this a difficult and problem, then maybe we're not living that living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And sometimes, you know, I have a problem with that. I always would like to get even. Remember one guy we used to work with, and you'd do something, and you'd say, that's okay, I'm not going to get mad. I just get even. That's a bad attitude. I'd rather have you get mad at me than to get even with me. And that was his saying, that's the way it was. But it says here, if you give wrath, give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, pay, saith the Lord. And so when we realize that God will take care of the situation, we don't have to repay. He will take care of it. And sometimes it's not so easy done. So dearly beloved, therefore he says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Not real sure what that heaping coals on fire on his head, exactly what that means. But I believe in my own mind, and my thought is that if you do good, if you're kind to people, like this says here, patient, tribulation, instant in prayer, not slothful of business, affectionate one to another. If we do these kinds of things, I believe that can heap coals of fire on the one that says, bless them that persecute you, and bless and curse not. And so the one that does that, and you turn around and you're kind, gentle, loving, you heap coals of fire on his head. That's the way I see it. And then he says, but be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's probably the key thing in this whole chapter that we've read here. The key thing is not to overcome evil, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I believe that falls very heavy on the very fact that we must be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So in light of this whole chapter, in light of this, what God has taught us tonight, let us be mindful. Let us be mindful of the words that we've heard. We need to rehearse them in our minds, rehearse them in our heart, so that we can get used to different. Because I believe that we find these things, if we can live like this teaches us here, we will be acceptable unto whatever is different. You know, normal may not come back as we know normal. There again, what is normal? What's normal for me may not be normal for you. And so you have to look at your life. What is different? What is normal? But as he says here, be of the same mind, one toward another, not mind high things, but condescend to men of low estate. So you see, if we keep this in mind, same mind, one toward another, and all these under this category, encourage us, encourage one another. And so we find ourselves necessary, thankful to be here, thankful to be with one another, thankful that we have a church that we can come here and worship, and thankful that we have a Savior like Jesus Christ who taught us all of this, and his servants, the Apostle Paul, was very instrumental in teaching us how we can live and be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, as our reasonable service. Amen.
Dear ones, this chapter is a chapter of mercy. But we cannot show mercy, he tells us, unless we first worship him. And that is why he tells us here that we would present our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service, our reasonable worship. It's the way in which we worship our Lord. In Hebrews, it tells us, it says, by him, that is through Jesus Christ, it says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So when our lips join our hearts in worship, the body becomes a holy and living sacrifice. Because he says right away, he says, and then do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And throughout this chapter, we just see mercy coming over and over again. Exhortations to, as was spoken of, a love without a hypocrisy, being kindly affectioned, rejoicing and distributing to the necessity of saints. These are all things of mercy, that acts of mercy. And then it says here, bless them which persecute you. Those are the words of our Lord Jesus, who said, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And dear ones, this very apostle who penned this heard this. He heard this very thing taking place as he was standing there consenting to the death of the martyr Stephen. He heard Stephen cry out, kneeling down, crying out, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Does that mean that because Stephen had kneeled, and his last words that were uttered, it was thoughts of mercy? Because he worshiped his God, his body became a living sacrifice. And does that mean that just because he prayed that automatically those who killed him would be forgiven? No. When I pray that God would forgive me, and when I pray that God would forgive you, it requires something from me, a repentance. But what it asks is that God would impress upon me and on you and all the need that his word would direct me to repentance. And that's exactly what happened to Saul, who heard as he was persecuting, he was being blessed. And so now he is repeating these very things that he saw in action by a martyr. And he's saying, this chapter, dear ones, is should be a picture of our lives. This isn't just to read and something to think about, to aspire to someday I will get there. No, this has to be who we are. Do we worship our Lord? Do our lips and our hearts worship his name and name him? And then our body follows with mercy. Throughout this chapter, all we see is mercy, mercy, and mercy. And that is who our Lord is, and that is what he is calling us to. And so may this, dear ones, if we read this word today, this evening, and we leave here, not being moved, then we weren't present. We didn't read this word in the Spirit. We were here physically, and we read it, and we can recite what was read, but if it doesn't create within us anything, no moving, then we weren't really here. Because this chapter is really calling us to a living sacrifice. We know what sacrifices meant in the Mosaic system. That's not what this is in reference to. No, because Jesus was the sacrifice that washes away all of our sins, that brings us unto this ability to have our bodies then. And he says, all the members of your body. That's everything that we do, our eyes, our ears, our lips, and everything that is part of this body, that it would worship Jesus through everything we do. We need, our lives need to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I beseech you. That in itself are words of mercy. He says, he calls them brethren. He brings himself down to their level. He doesn't say, I'm saying this with apostolic authority. No. He's saying, brethren, I beseech you. He pleads with them. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's not a commandment. It's a plea of mercy. And so, dear ones, let's reread this chapter and contemplate on every verse, because it's life and light and peace with God. Amen.